Welcome to Exploring Possibilities. I'm your host, Cheryl Sitz, and since 2012, we have been exploring possibilities and shifting perspectives in holistic spiritual ways. Make sure you never miss a show. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Google Play, and rate us so others will find us too. We'll continue in just a moment.
Have you ever gone to a social media seminar and you have the online experts telling you, get a blog, get a website, get on social media, all this other stuff? By the time you're done with that seminar, that online expert is very good at frying your brain. And the funny part is, you come back home, you get in front of the computer, and you're lost. Hi, I am Mario with Tech Life Balance. I see this all the time. You spend so much money and still don't know what is going on with your online presence. And you know, you probably don't need all of that. Let me go ahead and translate Geek to English for you and show you what you really need, because you don't need it all. You probably only need a few components. You have a great message out there, and I would like to hear it, and I definitely want to help you put it out there. I am Mario Rosales with TechLifeBalance.net. I produce this podcast because I love distributing messages. Let me help you distribute your message.
Who are you? Why are you here? What wonders and opportunities await you beyond physical death? What happened millennia ago to create the damaged earth and fractured societies you see around you? Empowering, enlightening, internationally acclaimed, the Joseph Communications books offer answers to these questions. Spiritual, concise, contemporary, non-denominational, the communications originate from Joseph, a highly evolved discarnate spirit concerned for you and the future of the planet and its peoples. The words of Joseph and his soul group give you the power to bring light and change into your own life and the lives of others, and to restore the earth. Available in paperback, ebook, and audiobook formats, the communications can be ordered today at www.thejosephcommunications.com and also from Amazon and other major booksellers. All proceeds are used for further publishing and advertising, and to make the communications available worldwide.
Well, we've got some upcoming live and online events I want to let you know about. April the 8th in North Houston, you can discover what you came here to learn and do and how to enjoy the journey. I've partnered with astrologer Irina Jacobson, and we'll be reviewing your North and South nodes and Saturn in your natal chart. That helps you figure out your life path and purpose. And then I come along and we talk about how you can really enjoy the journey by shifting your perspective on all that information. It'll be a lot of fun. April 15th via Zoom, so wherever you are, you can join us. Reclaiming Your Feminine Power, a free conversation about what that means for you. And you don't want to miss that one. And on the 21st, we're back in the Woodlands for an event, The Language of Manifestation, Exploring Our Shadows and Stories. You can find details on all of these at journeyofpossibilities.com. Just click the big events button. Earlier this week, Mario Rosales and I were discussing the Me Too movement. Now, when that was first coming out, I stayed pretty quiet because I have done so much sharing about my sexual healing journey, and some of the stuff I saw posted was really disturbing. I was more of an observer of it, and I haven't really said much about it until now. I first want to say I'm really glad that women are finding their voices and speaking their truths. We can't keep this stuff locked inside. It's not good for us, and we've been silent for generations. I experienced childhood sexual abuse, and the first thing that I did was to rebel and act out, and that didn't go so well for me. So at that point, the lesson that I embodied was to stuff it inside. So I was one of those people too. I had all that anger inside, and I became a people pleaser. I wanted to make everybody happy. I equated people pleasing and their appreciation of me, that reward, as love. And so I couldn't get enough of it. And that anger was still in there. It showed up everywhere I went. It was in the bedroom, out of the bedroom, and I really couldn't see it anymore. It was just how I thought I was. But it didn't do the best for my relationships. And I wouldn't call whatever I was doing real intimacy either. It was more like acrobatics and whatever it took for physical pleasure. It was all about the physical, but I wasn't opening my heart truly in those moments and really being fully present. So I definitely understand a lot of what's going on, what's been suppressed for so long that's coming out in this movement. I guess my concern is that if we focus on the anger, then that's going to spread so much that it becomes about this angry backlash. And I'm afraid that the victims will then become the perpetrators and this thing's going to play out all over again. And so that's kind of the conversation that we were having earlier this week. Mario was following some conversations in men's groups that he's a part of and sharing a little bit of what he was seeing there and his concern. And he's with me today to share his story, and we thought we'd kind of explore this more. So welcome, my dear.
Well, thank you. And for those people that have heard me on the podcast, I've shared a little bit, but I'll go ahead and expand on it. What I have experienced, I grew up with very strong women, and I lost my masculine voice, I guess you could say it. And what that means is just being able to find my version of speaking up. I would not stand up for myself. I kind of just didn't have myself put together. And I was not the person I wanted to be. When I got into certain relationships, I wasn't able to speak up. And now I'm beginning to see women, especially in this Me Too movement, where I'm seeing a lot of women saying, oh, you know, well, the man should do this or should do that. And for me, having grown up with very strong women, I can tell you after doing my healing work, and it like everything else, it's a process. But one of the biggest things that I'm learning is that when I'm in my present presence in these situations, some of these women don't know what to do with me. And with all that healing work that I've done, I've noticed some people are angry and I should act this way or that way.
Okay, I don't want to be abstract because people aren't going to really get into what you're saying because I'm not following what you mean. So let's back up a little bit. So I know because I was a really strong woman when we met, and we met as friends.
Mm-hmm.
So you told me I used to like
you used
intimidate
me.
You.
Yeah. So when you would talk to me, just because of the way you are, you were very, very masculine back then. And those masculine traits would come out very strongly. And having grown up with that, I didn't know what to do.
Well, let me back up by defining masculine and feminine, because we're obviously not talking about the man and the woman. I wasn't a man, yeah. And he wasn't a woman.
Correct.
So the masculine is more of the externalizing, taking the energy and pushing it out, where the feminine is more of the pulling it in, withdrawing, internalizing. So the women are more about the emotions and the feelings and the inner stuff, and the masculine energy is an expressive external energy. And so when we met, I was very externalized, very outspoken. I'm a broadcaster. I'm very active, busy with my hands, public speaking. And so I know how to externalize all of my energy. And Mario was very internalized with his. And so when I would come blasting into a room, you would literally like shrink almost. Like I would blow you out of the room with my energy.
Yeah. And that's not to say that I wasn't able to speak up. I mean, I could get in front of rooms and everything, but it's when I started interacting with you where I started seeing a lot of these things about me, like not being able to speak up. You would say something and I wouldn't be able to speak up to what I believe in, or, well, I disagree with you. Or if I was disagreeing with you, I said it very well, I don't feel that. So I would trip on words. Now you can't really shut me up,
yeah.
Because of all of that.
But the opposite is also true. So we're creating this show for women and men to listen to, and we kind of want to bounce back and forth so you can see where you might relate to where we're at in this conversation about Me Too. So for me, I had no problem speaking out. I had trouble going within. I had trouble really being in the feminine and staying in my heart and being in my emotions and being in that place and receiving people into that space within me. I had no idea what that looked like or how to do that. And so we really were kind of opposites, and we've learned a lot from each other along the way.
Yeah, some of the big things that I've learned is just sometimes there's communication seems to be the big thing, because the way we react has a lot to do with our internal, what has happened in our past. So when I was reacting to you telling me this or telling me that, it was all a fear inside of me, like, oh, it's like, no, I can't really speak up because I'm this or I'm that. But then as I started getting my voice, that's when I was, and going through this healing process, I started learning what was mine and what was, I guess I could say, yours in that sense. So I was able to be able to split that, which made the conversation a little bit better. And it also showed me where we both needed some inner work, or however you want to word that.
I agree. Well, I guess what brought all that up was you were saying that when you stand in the truth of your masculinity and use your voice, women don't know what to do with that. So what does that mean? What are you talking about?
When I come into the room, there's the only way I can explain it, and it's abstract because I've never put it into words, and I guess this is the first time I'm putting it into words. I'm very confident in who I am now, so it shows up wherever I go. And for example, when I go towards a woman, of course I'm going to be respectful, and in some of the circles, some women hug and some men hug, and in those scenarios I feel into the energy, and there's a resistance for some women when I go to hug them, and for whatever reason. But then there's other women that are very friendly and just they hug also, and you see that reaction because I'm pretty comfortable hugging. And for a man hugging right now, especially the way the Me Too movement is going on, it makes it very challenging. Well, should I hug or should I not hug? So I'm being very respectful and just understanding. And if they want to shake a hand, then shake a hand. But if they're open to hugging, then I hug. And it's, I can't say I always get it right, but sometimes it's those awkward moments like you're about to go hug, but wait a minute. So it makes it very awkward. And that can be translated in many different ways.
Well, and we've learned from our journeys together that that's not about you. That's about the woman.
Correct.
And whether she's comfortable or not receiving that or participating in that.
Yes, I do understand that. And that's what makes it sometimes challenging. And these Me Too movements, they're saying the man should be this way, this way, this way, that way. And in my experiences has been that I can be whatever way it is, if the woman is not receptive to it, because I don't know what they, if they're comfortable with a hug, okay, great, but I don't know if they want a hug, or should I just give a handshake to all the women, or should I give a hug to all women, or what? I guess that's where the Me Too movement kind of gets confusing for me. It's like, how should I be? Is there like a criteria for me to be?
There's no rule book, dear, but I think it's really important. I think there's two pieces I want to say here. It's important that the man ask. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though you can feel the energy, sometimes that can shift in a moment. A woman might think she's comfortable hugging and you step in to do it and she's not. But if you ask her, then she's got the place to speak. And likewise, I think it's important for women to ask and say what they need, but not expecting that men are going to change and be something else for us, because I don't think any healing journey is about somebody else having to change for us. I think it's about learning to speak and stand in our truth without the anger.
Yeah. And that also brings up another point. There's some women that don't speak up. So it, because they're surrounding. So for example, they're, when the environment, everybody's hugging, but then when a man goes to hug a woman, there's, if the woman is afraid to speak up, she might not speak up at that time. And this is the way I'm understanding things about the Me Too. It's like, you just should be this way for everybody. And at least that's the impression I'm getting as a man, that I should be just this. Even though if asking, what happens with that woman that is not comfortable with hugs, and yet, because she's in an environment where everybody's hugging, that she can't speak up. So what about that woman? I guess that's my question.
I am that woman. not about hugging, because I grew up in Texas and we are huggers. Boy, have I hugged a lot in my life. But I can also tell you, as a woman, there are men who take full advantage of those hugging situations to come up and really rub on the chest and get all they can out of a hug. So not everyone comes to it with a clean, open heart like you do and just pure intentions. There are people that will capitalize on all those opportunities, just like there's wounded women walking around who've been the victim to those things. So yeah, there have been plenty of times I didn't know how to speak up, or I felt like I was being taken advantage of. That's my journey. That's my journey, is for all the times that I've been outspoken in my life, in the bedroom, in intimate situations, in situations where I believed my body, because my abuse happened really young. So there was this encoded message that was kind of in my unconscious that my body's here to please men. And so that kind of took my voice away from me in a way. And my journey has been, no matter how many other places I can speak out, I need to be able to speak out about my body and love my body. And that's really what I've been in. And so I would say to a woman who has that issue, it's about doing something to stand up for ourselves. Even it's putting a hand between me and the person that's hugging and just stepping back and then coming back when I'm comfortable and saying, I apologize, I should have let you know in advance. I thought I was okay and I wasn't, or whatever. It's not the man's fault if we don't speak up. It's our journey to learn to find our voice.
And that brings up another point. So you said that part, you know, it's about the women also. And that's the part that I feel is missing in the Me Too movement. That it's not just the man. It's also the woman. And it should be a two-way street. It should be that both the men are doing their inner work, or whatever they're doing, but also the women, because I'm feeling the women saying that the men should be doing everything because the patriarch, and because women have been suppressed for so long. And I do understand that and respect that, but it also means that because we were in that hierarchy, or however you want to call it, that both the men and the women have gone through some things that both of them need to heal. And that's the element that I was talking about in one of the groups that I was talking about, that it's that we both have work to do. It's not just the men. And to put all this pressure on men is not to be dealing with the true issue, which is both.
I totally agree with you. And we all have to learn what that is for us. And I think one of the key issues that we can talk about here is the masculine exists in the men and the women. The feminine exists in the men and the women. What has been suppressed is not only through various forms of power, women, whatever when we're incarnated as a woman, we've been in that for the last several generations. But it's also the feminine energy across the board has been suppressed. Women and men have been focusing externally on competing in a man, and the women have been feeling like we're competing in a man's world. We don't earn the wages that the men do, and the men have controlled largely the bedroom if for many of us in our stories, and they've controlled the workplace and they've controlled the finances. And so in many ways we feel like we haven't had a voice. So you probably do feel this backlash of anger. And it's understandable, and I'm not saying it's right. It's just naturally what's happening now. But rather than letting that anger overtake everything so that that pendulum swings all the way the other way and now we're trampling all over the masculine, it's really important that we all go into our feminine. The men have it too. It's about opening our hearts more instead of living in our heads and our minds. Opening our hearts and really seeing what's present for all of us. The feminine is the emotional side. The feminine is the sensitive side. The feminine is the nurturer. And we could all make great strides in that.
I agree. And that's been one of my battles, I guess, learning who I am. I've had to embrace both sides of myself, the masculine and the feminine. And that's something that I don't see much in men right now. And it might be just men that I've been exposed to, but so far it seems like the men are this way with sports, this way with like working out, and this way with women. And I know that there's other men out there struggling, because I see it in the group that I'm in. And in that group, there's people talking about it. And some men are confused, like me. Some men understand that there is also a two-way street, that we both have to work at it together. But there's also, it's open to women also in that group. And you can tell some of the women responding there, they also haven't had their healing. There's few of them in there that understand what we're talking about. So I think that anger that we feel, we really both should just go into that anger, you know. And I'm not talking about you and I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking everybody that's talking about the Me Too movement. Let's look at both sides and really try and heal this, rather than try to put it all into one side and think that's the way that we're going to fix everything.
I agree. And that also comes back to many of us not having been shown ever through the ways that we grew up what to do with that anger. Women, that was one of those emotions we couldn't show. And when men showed it, we were scared. So if we were literally physically the smaller, if we were literally financially dependent, if we were in all ways kind of feeling a little less than whoever we were with, then if we got mad, we were scared. If they got mad, we were really scared. Anger is the thing that's coming up right now for all of us on every front. As all these old structures break down, everything from the Me Too movement to the financial movement to political scene, we're all getting really pissed off, and nobody knows what to do with this anger in a healthy way. And so if we're not careful, we're going to use it to drive things in a direction that we then have to come back the other way again from. It's like this pendulum that just keeps going back and forth, because now we're mad. No, now we're mad, and we're not getting anywhere. I think anger needs to be dealt with on its own as anger. And then we come back to the conversation when we've cleared ourselves of some of that emotion to the side, and we can actually have a constructive conversation. That's really communication 101 right there. But if we aren't raised that way, we don't necessarily know that.
And I also want to stress that I don't say anger is bad. I'm just saying that the type of anger being displayed right now seems to be very unhealthy. There is a way to have anger and express that anger in a way that it can be healthy. So I just want to clarify that part.
Exactly. We're saying the same thing. Yeah. You started here, and I'm going to circle back to here. We're talking about learning how to have constructive conversations and actually be able to speak our truth. And you and I have had the interesting journey of learning that together as friends, as boyfriend, girlfriend. We've had a lot of really uncomfortable conversations because we have had to decide that we love ourselves enough to speak truths that the other may not want to hear, and we don't want to hurt the other person because we love the other person. So it's really interesting paradox to sit in, where I'm feeling that I love you and I love me, and because I love me, I have to say this truth, and I'm going to say it with all the love I can, so it hurts you the least it needs to, but it still needs to be said so that we're not living a lie in any situation. And so that's an art that we all need to be practicing if we want to really shift what we're seeing in the world today in terms of all these different power plays.
Yeah. And that brings up the other point also. Part of this also is that codependent nature that we have, that we're about, oh, we don't protect ourselves, we protect the other person, or we do things for the other person, and that we do matter and as an individual. And we can't forget that. And like everything, it's a balance for everything. And there has to be a balance in this Me Too movement, in my opinion. Just like there is in work-life balance and tech-life balance and any type of balance in as sexual, romantic relationships, there has to be a balance. And communication becomes the key foundation to all of this, as you and I have learned.
Yes, absolutely. And the fact that you and I are sitting here knowing, because we met and then began this really deep journey into consciousness as friends. So we've seen each other at our worst, I would say.
That we have. I agree.
Definitely. But the reason I bring that up is you and I are willing to go into our stuff. And we know that it's a journey. It's a solo journey. Even when we've gone to the depths of something that was really hard, the most I can ever do for you is hold you or hold your hand or just hold a space for you and be there for you. But you have to go into that and you have to deal with that. And I admire your courage and you inspire me. And then I go into my stuff.
And then you inspire me.
But that's where real change happens. It's easy to look out in the world and say, I wish the change would happen out there. And yeah, me too. I'm pissed. And what are we going to do about it? That's great. But what we really need to do about it is go inside ourselves and say, okay, this Me Too's come up. I've spoken my truth. Now what? That's why I named the show Me Too, Now What? Now what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do as an individual? How am I going to heal myself so that I can stand in my authentic self? And you know, as somebody that suffered sexual abuse, I can say right now, I didn't have any idea who my authentic self was. I had spent my whole life pleasing everybody else. That's it. I'd spent my whole life pleasing everybody else. What I mean by that is society wants me to look like this. I'll look like this. The boss wants that. I'll do that. My parents want that. The teachers want that. My husband wants that. The kids want that. I was about everything but me. Me too starts with me too. So until I come home to me and figure out who I am and heal my stuff, then I can't look for change anywhere else. And the irony there, or the paradox, is as I change inside of me, everything else shifts around me because my vibration's different. So Me Too is about me.
I think it's very well said. It's Me Too. I mean, me, the very first word of that is what I think is missing out of that.
Because I think we're coming to that. I think, you know, like anything else, if you had a pressure cooker and the pressure was building and building and building and building, it's got to let off that steam before we can deal with whatever's cooking inside of there.
I hope we're I hope we're there. So
I think a lot of steam. And I do think there's still probably women that haven't yet said Me Too. And you don't have to say it with a hashtag and you don't have to go scream it from a mountaintop. Maybe you whisper it to your best friend. Maybe you find a counselor or a nonprofit organization where there's people there for free. Maybe you send me a note at journeyofpossibilities.com and just say, Me Too. It's okay. You don't have to tell a lot of people, but the minute you can start to step into that truth of Me Too, that's the beginning of the real journey of possibilities. That's where it all starts. And you know, since we've been on this journey together, the first thing we recognized is we want to help other people on this journey too, because this is where it's at. We spent so much time busy out there, and this is where the real change is happening. So we both want to work with people to help them if they want help through those shifts. He works a lot with men with technology. I work with women around how do you really want to show up in the world? Are you ready for a change in your life? So reach out to us. This is a very complex conversation with a lot of layers.
Yeah, and the other part I have to say also, the Me Too is for men too. I mean, men have been abused out there and in a different way. And with men, the society we grew up in, we're told you can't cry, you can't be this, you can't do that. So I also want to put that out for the women to understand that some of these men are hurting too. And sometimes the words, the way they're being presented, men don't understand some of those words because they were never taught that, or we were never taught that. So sometimes it helps to communicate a little bit more rather than just say no. It's like, say, no, I don't feel safe, or no, because the word no is powerful, but if it has no context, you live us with a mystery of no, okay, and then what do we do next? It's like, Me Too, what next? Exactly. It's like, what you tell me no, or it's like, oh, okay. And if you don't want to say anything, then say that, no, I'd rather not talk about it, but no, not right now. And that's perfect. And if the man gets upset at that, it's for him to deal with it. It's not for you, because he's the one reacting to your no, and that's for him. That part I completely agree with.
You bring up a good point about the fact that men have been abused too, and it's not necessarily the same type of abuse. It doesn't necessarily look the same way. One of the interesting things that came up for me, I'm now working through an Art of Co-Creation sexuality program that's really good. It's another layer in my healing, because it's a journey from showing up in, I want to call it the negative face, but I don't really like that, showing up in a way that's other than our truth. And that's how I spent most of my sex life. And then there's a place where I withdraw and heal myself. And then there's the journey into, okay, I've never actually been that vulnerable before. How do I even, so then you find out, or at least for me, I find out I'm in my 50s and I'm embarking on what real vulnerability is. And that's kind of a trip too, because I feel like, wow, I should have this figured out by now and I don't. So then there's another journey of what I do want to show up as and how does that look? And there's great training out there and great help and great practitioners that can help us through all of this. But what I was leading into saying is, it's been about control for me, and I think that's at the heart of abuse. Somewhere we scramble to have control. It's either I'm going to control what it looks like in the bedroom, I'm going to control it by saying no to all of it, I'm going to control. In some way, we're scrambling for control, and saying no all the time is control. Always having to be the one in control is control, and control is not vulnerability. Control is not the point. And so I would encourage, if that's a very familiar sound for you, and you know if I'm talking to you, because I know I'm talking about my story. If that's familiar, there is something better available. There's something more authentic. There's something deeper and richer available. And I believe it's worth the healing journey to get there. I've seen snippets of it. I've gotten a taste of it, and I want some more. So it's about loving ourselves enough to reach out for that. And yes, we've abused men. Men have abused us with no's, with yeses that mean no's, with no's that mean yes. It's been a mess.
One thing I will say, having grown up with strong women, I obviously inherited a lot of female, more of the feminine traits, I should say. And having that, but having seen very strong women, I've also seen them that they are very vulnerable also, but it's a choice that one has to make, and it can't be an easy choice, or it can be. It's all up to the individual. Same thing for men. Men can be vulnerable. They don't have to be this tough guy that you see out there. I used to wonder what a man was, and to me, those, like, the stereotypical machoism that you hear about, that a lot of women like or don't like, is what I was thinking. Oh, that's the way I should be, or that's the way I should be. And really, the honest truth, a man is a man when he's confident in who he is. And that's really what a man is. It's taken me many years to actually get to that. But if you know you're this, then that's you. And if you want to change it, And you want to change it, it's up to you. So you can be whoever you want to be. It's just all up to you. And I think the same thing can apply to the women. Same thing I'm saying for the men, I think can also apply for the women. If you want to be that way, then that's fine. And the universe will bring you together with, if you want a partner, it'll bring you together with a partner that you want to be. So I just got to share that.
Good. Thank you. I agree. This has been wonderful. I feel really good about putting this out there.
Me too.
Me too. Very cute. That's our parting thought for you. Me too.
Me too.
This felt good. I'm really glad that we created this. It feels good. Me too. All right. I'd love to know how you felt about the show. Please let me know whatever came up for you. Send me a note. info@journeyofpossibilities.com. Look forward to seeing you next week on Exploring Possibilities.